Radio.
You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 21st of April, 2017, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. As always, I'm joined by the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm fresh out of deep research. I've been trying to catch up on lost time, obviously, with the mishaps of the Saturday documentary with the computers and the internet. And it's been really interesting. And I've done quite a fair bit of work, a groundwork for the soundtracks, which is usually what takes the longest. So I'm pretty pleased with how things have gone this week.
Well, yeah, that's really good to hear. I mean, you were saying that you've got four or five episodes worth that are almost ready to go. I'm sure you've got lots of subjects involved in them that we can talk about today. And you were referring to me earlier before we went on air about conspiracies and Freemasons, even the Flat Earth as well seems to come into this. So what's going to be in the first episode then?
Well, I can say one thing, but it might be another. But up to press, the first episode I was working on was with the Catholic Church and the problems that has arisen since. Now, I touched it briefly in the previous documentary, Communism by the Back Door, but in the Secret Masonic Victory of World War II, what I try and do is I try to show people that because of that victory in World War II, certain organizations have become under Masonic rule. And when I say it's under Masonic rule, it is therefore under Jewish rule, because the basis of Freemasonry is Jewish mysticism.
Well, yeah, we've showed that before, haven't we? That it's
that's
the
right.
Jewish influence with Freemasonry. You were saying something about persecution of Catholics by Mexicans. What's that involved?
Yeah, well, this is something I briefly came along to, which I was unaware of, being a Catholic myself. I had really no idea. I had heard a rumour somewhere along the lines. I mean, this happened before the Bolshevik Revolution, but there was rumours along the lines that Germany under Hitler was going to go to war with Mexico. How true that is, I'm not sure, but I can understand more now why it is possible, because when I see photographs of Catholics being hung on every lamppost or telegraph pole along a railway line, it's a sight to behold, it really is. And this is exactly what happened down in Mexico in the early 1900s. Like I said, I've only just come across it, but it looks like it's going to be a fascinating insight into the battle between good and evil, the Masonic powers and Christianity, and funded, of course, by you know who, the same people who funded the Bolshevik Revolution, which was Wall Street.
So this happened before the Bolshevik Revolution, then. Well, who was it that was against these Catholics, and what sort of revolution was it called? What does it involve? Because this is the first I've heard of this.
Yes, the first I heard of it as well. It was a Mexican Revolution. It was called the Mexican Revolution. And it was very similar to what was going on in Spain under Franco, where the forces of non-Christianity or Freemasonry, if you like, was overthrowing, you know, governments of Mexico to ban the teachings of Christianity. Even there's paintings and photographs I've seen, as I said, I've just briefly got into this, of nuns being executed, kneeling on the gallows to be killed. And the host of priests and nuns were murdered, just as they were in Spain. There's a very similar thing going on here, and it seems to be going on for a couple of thousand years, all this. But obviously, with them controlling a lot of the press and the media, if not all of it, then I'm not surprised that you and I have not heard a lot about this particular revolution. But I'm going to look into it more this week, without a doubt.
So it's secularism, humanitarianism, atheism against Christianity, really.
Yeah.
Against the traditional hierarchical role that was brought about through the church. So I should guess that it was after this that they tried to separate the church from state and all the rest of it. So this would have been a forerunner to the communist revolution, the Bolshevik revolution, and also what was happening in Spain. So this would have been the first one. Were they explicitly associating themselves with Marx at all, do you know?
Oh, yeah, the communist regime, yeah. Yeah, identical to the Bolshevik going on. It seems that for some reason, in Spain's case, America and Britain didn't get involved officially. And down in Mexico, it seems to just be funded by America or Wall Street. But I'm going to have to go a little bit more deeper into, you know, to get to the bottom of it all. But it's certainly the sight of seeing these telegraph poles along a railway line with bodies hanging, being hung there, is a sight to behold.
And of course, people weren't really told about this. We're told all about these Jews that died in these mythical gas chambers, but we're certainly not told of Catholics being massacred in Mexico in horrific ways.
No, that's right. Well, this is where the control comes in, you see. It's not so much the lies that they tell you to start with, it's what they don't tell you because they're capable of blocking things. So consequently, a lot of us are walking around in complete ignorance. I mean, as far as from my point of view, I mean, I'm not sure about yours, but I've always looked on Mexico just whenever it's come up in either on screen or in conversation as a Catholic country. I've just associated it with, the Jesuits going over to the New World and converting people. But apparently, you know, this war between good and evil and Christianity and Freemasonry is the more I look into it, it's sprouting up all over the place.
Well, I know the Mexican branch of Catholicism, it's added lots of things to it, hasn't it? Like the Day of the Dead. It's very similar to the voodoo that you get in Haiti, what they've ended up with over there in Mexico. So did these Marxists, did they win? Did they infiltrate the church? Because like you, I tend to think of Mexico as a Catholic country. But at the same time, if we look at what is that new Pope, Pope Francis? I know he's from South America. I'm not sure if it's Mexico or Argentina.
He's Argentina, I think, yeah.
Yeah, he's obviously quite big there, isn't it? You know, we hear of the Catholic Church being very big in South America.
Well, you're saying the Catholic Church, but I don't particularly look at the Church in Rome at this particular time as the official Catholic Church. And a lot of people look at it that way as well because in one of the first episodes, what I'm hoping to be the first episode anyway, when I looked into the Freemasonry and the Catholic Church, all throughout history of the Catholic religion, the popes have condemned Freemasonry. Even right up to the Pope, I forget his name there, right up to, you know, World War One, and even Pius, World War Two. But then with the fall of Nazi Germany, and that meant the fall of Christianity in Europe, there's been a slow erosion, as we know. But the popes have been put in charge after, you know, Vatican II. They've all been Freemasons and they've all openly welcomed Catholics to join Freemasonry. And in Vatican II, one of the main points is that they never, ever condemn communism.
Well, I think there's a Marxist branch of Catholicism as well. Now that I think about it, that took off in South America, and they warped the teachings of the Bible change it to some form of Marxism. And this Pope Francis was a big part of that, I think, and that's why he promotes Marxism. That's why he's a humanist pope and goes against all the traditions. And it says that being anti-racist and racism is a sin, nationalism is a sin, we must open up all our borders, all the traditional Marxist stuff he comes out with no biblical justification for it. In fact, biblical condemnation for the things that he talks about. So the church has obviously become infiltrated and subverted after the war, and there's a particular Marxist branch of it that's in Mexico. And you know what I'd like to know, Dennis, is whether it was after this revolution that you've been looking into that the church became subverted over there, or whether it was after Vatican II. You know, if there was a pre-subversion after this Mexican Revolution.
Well, my inclination is there was a pre-subversion. I think what went on in South America, now I could be wrong, but what went on in South America just moved into Europe. The same type of techniques, you know, the same infiltrations. And it's funny about Pope Francis. I always got the feeling that he was brought in because the previous Pope actually resigned, which is unheard of, really, because it's very much like the Queen, you know, they're given the job and they stay for life. Where the previous Pope resigned for whatever reason, it was never really officially given, and Pope Francis was brought in. Now, I felt at the time, I could never prove it, but I felt that this was a younger, more got more energy to push the New World Order than the previous Pope. The previous Pope actually, at one time, priests had to ask for permission to do the Mass in Latin, which was originally in Latin. But because of the Vatican II, you know, they changed things. Not as a dogma, but, you know, they left a lot of things like where, you know, which could be changed if you looked in certain ways. But and the previous Pope actually gave permission for priests not to need to ask the permission. But Francis comes in, and I don't think he's going to give an inch on anything. He's just going to, from what I've seen of what he says about homosexuality. I mean, he says for homosexuality, for instance, that he can't pass judgments or condemn. It's his job to pass or condemn, not on the person, but on the subject. I mean, if the head of the Catholic Church can't pass, judgment on homosexuality, there's something wrong. And by him not doing that, it's then left people, you know, like the press and media, then going on a campaign saying that the Catholic Church has now different views on homosexuality, which isn't the case at all. But this is what, you know, it's this drip, 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 drip of undermining, you know, the traditional rules of the Catholic Church by this modernism. And all this modernism leads to more and more Catholics leaving the Church, which is, of course, exactly what they want, because 1.2 billion Catholic members after World War II, who weren't particularly aware of what that war was really all about, were never going to be told in a detailed script.
Well, there was a time the Catholics were the most traditional. You know, they didn't believe in abortion, certainly didn't believe in homosexuality. I know in South America they were lax on the race mixing, but apart from that, they've always been very traditional and against Freemasonry. This last Pope before Francis, he was seen as right wing. He was I think he was in the Hitler Youth at one stage.
Yeah, well,
so the mainstream media hated him. They really hated him. They were attacking the church all the time when he was the Pope. And then once Francis came in, they were all falling at Francis's feet. They thought he was wonderful because he is promoting their agenda. He's promoting the humanist agenda. As you say, he's claiming that he can't pass judgment on homosexuals, saying that he can't actually repeat the teaching that's in the Old Testament on homosexuals. It's in the New Testament as well. Christ says it's a punishment. It's a deadly punishment to these people that reject Christ. He's given them up to these unholy passions with one another. It's a sin. Just recently, they asked the leader of the Liberal Democrats if it was a sin, and he said yes, homosexuality is a sin. And the press went absolutely wild at him, saying he's got to apologise for that. And of course he did. He backed down and said, "Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I should never have said it was a sin." Of course it's a sin. It's a deadly sin. The Bible says it's a sin. Who is he to say that it isn't? Who are these homosexuals to say that it isn't? But who's Pope Francis to go against the Bible? He's supposed to be upholding the tradition, not turning it over.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I got this feeling that he was brought in as a younger energy to push this new world order. And he's obviously down in South America, where I think it's, in that previous question that you asked me, I think all this went on, you know, before Vatican II. I could be wrong. Like I said, I've just skimmed over this particular thing. I was fascinated just to look at the photographs at one point. But obviously, as the research goes on, I'll be more clearer on it. But the fact is that they brought him in, and, he glows when he meets, the Israel government. You know, he glows when he meets you know, the royal family, and all these people are now all interconnected. We've always talked about New World Order as America's a military unit. You know, the banking system is in London, and the Vatican is the religious aspect of it. And when they're talking about a New World Order of one world, one, you know, one government, one religion, and that religion will be Luciferianism, well, that is already now in the Vatican. I was wondering at one point how they're going to do it, and I realised they'd already done it.
Well, yeah, I think up to the Second World War, you had Pope Pius, and you've got the Society of Pope Pius the X, which is what Bishop Williamson was a part of, and they're traditionalists, and they stick to the traditions, and they're anti-modernism. But after Vatican II, apparently there was a Freemasonic coup, and the Freemasons were the ones responsible for putting the popes in power ever since then. So the last pope, the one that stepped down, maybe he went a little bit off the rails a bit, allowing the mass to be said in Latin and being a little bit right-wing. So he went a little bit off the rails, and they've managed to pressure him to resign, and now they've got one of their own back in there again.
Without a doubt. I mean, you just look at Pope Francis, and he's just there. He is the perfect person for them to lead the way, as was the Pope, Pope John Paul from Poland. Now, I used to look at him many years ago as a perfect pope. It symbolised everything about what you'd think about how a pope should look, how a pope should react, and then you find out that he was one of the most of the communist popes going.
Well, that's the thing with this communism, this Marxism, that they try to make out that it's all so good, and it's so charitable, and it's so loving, and look after everyone, and it's all just a scam for destroying the white race, taking everything from whites and giving it to non-whites, and the church by extension.
Well, if you destroy Christianity, that's kind of the yolk of what the white race was keeping them all together, the family traditions. Everything was surrounding Christianity was a solid yolk of the white race, especially in Europe. But if you destroy that, which since World War II, as you can plainly see it, I mean, for instance, there were some complaints in Germany, right, about 1930, 38, 39. The Roman Catholic Church had some disagreements and or some worries concerning Germany on the National Socialism. And the point where National Socialism was so popular that the church was frightened that they would lose out in that popularity gain, because, you know, they were concerned about, you know, the Germans loving the country so much that the Catholic Church was going to come second when it always had come first. And so there were some concerns. And like, when you look then, I mean, Germany was against abortion back then. You look at the Catholic Church today, and any grievances they have then doesn't compare at all to what the grievances they have today. I mean, you look at America, you get the meetings of the Catholic Church having these dinners in New York with members of, you know, the Clintons and Donald Trump and all them, and they're happily sitting hand in hand together. You know, with 50 million abortions going on in America, this isn't the Catholic Church that I know should be the Catholic Church.
Well, you can see that there was still a movement within Catholicism to stick to traditionalism, with the way that they managed to force the Hollywood movie industry to adhere to some kind of self-censorship. Mm-hmm. That was down to the Catholics. They were the ones that stood up against Hollywood and prevented them from turning into a soft porno industry up until the 60s or 70s, when they managed to overturn it. So you can see that there's still a lot of Catholics out there that want to be traditional, and they're obviously turned off by this, but they don't know what to do, because the Pope is supposed to be the, you know, he's the one who's supposed to translate the Bible into the modern day and translate the laws in it and preach those laws, and he's not. He's going against it. And when you look at Christendom, when you say the link with Christianity and with the white race, before we were called the white race, we were called Christendom. And that was the name for the white race, Christendom. That's what brought us all together. That's what united us. Now it's racial. Of course, it was racial back then, but it was looked at more in a religious way, I think.
Yeah, I think. I mean, one of the big secrets of World War II is this: they will not allow any. Well, they didn't allow any information during the war, so they certainly weren't going to allow it after the war about the whole. You know, it was a holy war. Judea, you know, the international jury declared war, holy war, on Germany. This is the point that everybody misses, especially outside of Europe at that time. So you've got these thousands of Christian soldiers from England and from America going over there, led by this Masonic leadership, unknown Masonic leadership to most of them, and sacrificing their lives to kill the Christians on the landmass of Europe. It was a Christian civil war, but an unknowing civil war, because the Americans were going over there thinking they're going to get rid of this demon Adolf Hitler and these Nazis, when actually it was just a well-planned execution of Christians by Jewish Freemasonry.
Well, it was a crusade against Bolshevism. That's what it was. You had Waffen-SS from all the different countries in Europe, volunteers going against what their against what their government had said. I mean, we had a Legion of St. George. They went to fight on the side That's of right. the Germans. There were Waffen-SS units from all over Europe that went to fight against the Bolshevik menace, the atheistic, anti-Christian Bolshevik menace. And if you look at what the writings of these people, like Leon de Grau, you see that they were Christian. In fact, all Axis war heroes that Schmidt has looked into and given presentations on, I think every one of them was Christian.
Every one of them. And this is the secret that they will not allow out, you will not have it in distribution, you will not show in a Hollywood movie, is that when, as I said, I've said on previous times, is that, and it's a perfect example of when Churchill gives a speech about, be prepared now for the Battle of Britain, and he mentions in that speech Christianity, it hangs in the balance over this battle. And every single country of the Axis powers were Christian, fighting Bolshevism, which was out to wipe out Christianity. And Churchill stands with the Bolsheviks. And he wrote about it in the early 1920s, where he actually admits in his writings about this Jewish power. So he's certainly not blind to it all, when he knew full well all those years ago. But by then he's well taken under the wing of the Jews, and he owes obviously some great financial amounts to him, but as long as he toes the line, he's fine, and he toes the line all the way through.
Well, there's nothing more anti-Christian than Churchill when Hitler turned the other cheek to him by letting us all come back from Dunkirk, and he just continued fighting instead of admitting defeat, like we were talking about last week. That's what Hitler did. He turned the other cheek to him. And that shows you that the Christian character in Adolf Hitler and the anti-Christian character in Winston Churchill. It's so essential to it all.
Without a doubt. And we were talking earlier, before we came on air, about another line that I was going down, and this was with the flat earth. Now, before people all go aghast and jump back and whatever, it's not what you think. This isn't going to fall off the end of the earth if you go over the horizon of the sea. I've looked into it, and the leading guy in this flat earth movement, which is one of, at this moment in time, there are more minds being changed by this particular philosophy than any other. But the guy is called Eric Debay, and he did a radio interview, which I was listening to, where he combined it all with Freemasonry and Jewish-led Freemasonry, and including the Holocaust. It's all one. After World War II, all this has been all tied up and knotted with Hollywood and NASA and other free Masonic industries, which are now controlling us all. And NASA is one of them. And the flat earth, which goes back thousands of years, I've watched one or two of the documentaries now, and it's to say the very least, it's fascinating. And when today somebody, I'm going to show an example of this in the documentary, who was adamant against this flat earth philosophy now, has gone on his computer, he's gone on to Google, he's gone looking for photographs of the global earth and can't find one. They've all been computer images. Can't find one single photograph. Now, he's not interested in the scientific experiments, which have all gone on, and proven certain aspects of it. He's not even interested in that. All he wants is one photograph of the global Earth, and he can't find it.
Well, it wouldn't be one, because you've got to have, the actual process of taking a photograph. I doubt whether you'd be able to do that from miles away in space from whatever it is that they're sending off. They just send back radio waves, don't they? And then they interpret the radio waves and come up with a picture. I know what you're saying. I mean, these computers, it's all computer graph-related. It's all computer simulated graphics that they use for everything. It's just their interpretation of the signals that get sent back, I think.
Well, surely when the astronauts were leaving, you know, to go to the moon, they could have looked through the window and took a photograph.
Well, I don't know about the. I'm not so sure about these moon landings. I know there's lots of questions about that. I know there's lots of questions about that, and lots of people that don't believe it.
In the documentary, because that's another one of NASA's scams. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the interview of the astronauts when they've come back. One of the greatest feats, if not the greatest feat in all of history, the actual interview by the press with the astronauts is fascinating. Fascinating. It's like a wake. Astronauts don't particularly want to lie.
Yeah, I know about that, but I was just thinking, I mean, at the time when they supposedly went to the moon, you had this Cold War and you had this race between communism and also between the so-called free world to try and get to the moon first. So, I mean, it is quite feasible that could have been some kind of hoax just to try and get one over on the communists to say we got there first.
But the thing is, they've maintained that lie ever since.
I think it's becoming harder to maintain it when you look at things like flags in the wind, and you look at the actual thing itself, which seemed to be sort of held together with string and sellotape. I mean, it looks more like a First World War aeroplane than a spaceship, doesn't it?
Recently they've been trips down to the. And tear the South Pole and etc. And all this all ties in because apparently after World War II, Admiral Byrd went down there with a fleet and apparently he discovered land down there beyond, masses of land beyond this, what we regard as the South Pole. And since then, treaties have been signed, United Nations, and we're not allowed to go down there. Anybody going down there is treated very similar to the Holocaust. If you push it too far, you want to go to certain areas where you're not allowed, you will end up in prison. They've got people down there who'll show you bits and bats what they want to show you, but it's a no-go area down there. And, you know, people, obviously, when you're told you can't go there, are wondering why.
Well, I think the poles possibly reversed at some point in the past, and what was the South Pole would have been the North Pole. And what was it now, the North Pole, would have been the South Pole. I mean, I think there's certain evidence to show that possibly happened in the past to do with the myths when it talks about the North and the North being sunny and temperate. And it's obviously not sunny and temperate now. I think we've had lots of changes in the climate. And if you look at the electric universe theory, that explains all of that. And you can do tests on Earth. You can do experiments scaling down these processes, and then you can scale them up to galactic size processes, and that explains all of cosmology. Only they would rather try and claim that the sun is a thermonuclear explosion rather than like the tip of a welding rod, but so much larger. And the electric universe guys, their theories, I think, are fantastic. And they show that the way that science has gone from Einstein onwards has been completely warped. All the time they do these experiments, NASA and the rest of them, they do these experiments, and they come up with a result that's the complete opposite of what they were expecting. And instead of saying, well, our theory must be wrong, they just invent loads of stuff to add to it. They now say that 99% of the universe isn't there, because they've had to invent 99% of everything to make their theories work. That there's no actual proof that their theories work.
There's no proof at all. In fact, all this links up to the Big Bang as well, because this movement, if you like, this anti-God movement, which started, over in England with, you know, Marx and leading on to communism, it all goes back to this point where, I think this is a valid point as well, which Eric Dubé makes. In the only explosion of all of history, this one explosion, instead of destroying everything, created life. This Big Bang theory, which is ridiculous, because when you think about it, it is the only explosion, if this did happen, to create something. the not destroy. And it's this killing of God. I believe all this is to do with killing, the Catholic Church, the Christianity in World War II, leading into this. If we are just a dot in this universe, as NASA are claiming, it makes us worthless and it makes God, less likely. I mean, in fact, if you did a survey now of European youth, I'm quite sure people would believe in aliens more than God now.
Oh yeah, that's the whole point of it, isn't it? Is to make us think that we're nothing. We're just another species on the same level as an insect. We're not. We're the crown of creation. We're the glory of creation. At the very peak of creation, God created man in his own image. That's what we are.
Like that to the Jews. We're not. We're cattle.
Well, yeah, that's it, cattle or dogs. But the reality is, we were created in the image of God, and we should be living up to that.
Correct. And Jewish Masonic teachings is opposite. They're the ones who are the God's chosen people. We are the cattle. We're only in human form to serve them even better. And so this all begins to link up. You can go back to World War II where Hitler, is giving expressive speeches to say that, that this is a fight for all the world and not just Germany. So I can understand completely now where it was coming from, where the Germans are coming from, and from the rest of Europe, because when they're going into Satan's backyard because of the threat of the invasion from Stalin. All these Christian countries have gone in there. 50,000 volunteers from Spain have just come off the back of their own civil war, of Masons trying to overtake and communists trying to overtake Spain. This all starts to link up, and this will all be explained at one point. It'll all come together in the documentary.
Right, I think we started off with a perfect beginning, and then it's gradually got worse and worse. This fits in with the Indian idea of these different yugas, and we then get to the final yuga, the Kali Yuga, where everything is back to front, and what's good is evil, and what's evil is good, and because we're as far away as we can get from the close to perfect beginning that we had. So I think that's why. We've got the Jews that are supposedly God's chosen people when they're actually the representatives of chaos and the anti-logos and the devil. And the people that are the pinnacle of God's creation have got all this white guilt. I mean, this is why I know white supremacy is a dirty word, but I really don't see why that is. I think if you tell people that they are the best, their ancestors were the best, they did all these wonderful things, then those people are going to try and be the best. They know that they've got something to live up to. If you tell them the opposite, that they're terrible, they enslaved the world, then this is where you get this white guilt from. This is why you get people calling for open borders. I mean, if we told our people, you are the very best, they would try to be the best. Instead of thinking, well, we're just the same as the Negroes, we'll behave like Negroes, they would be trying to behave like our ancestors, like the heroes of World War II, these honourable people that laid their lives down for their nations. I bet 90% of white people today wouldn't lay their life down for their nation.
I'm sure they wouldn't. Do you know what worries me though, Sven? When I look at I took a step back and took a look at all this, and they're in control of more or less everything. I mean, Albert Pike talks about a third world war, and it definitely looks like we're going to need a third world war to actually control everything if they won that one, because after two, they still haven't got complete control. But in certain parts of the world, they have, ours especially. And so when you think about it, like you just hit the nail on the head, everything has been turned on its head. What's good is bad, and what was bad is no good. You think about this now, that if they manage to control, complete control of everything, there will come a day when the teachings will not be the serpent in the garden, but it will be God who is the evil one. And we, as a whole world, will be looking at the serpent as God, and as God as the serpent. And this is what they'll do with the indoctrination. When they've got control of everything, so people will actually be thinking that it is the serpent who's the good guy.
Well, they're already teaching that. There are a lot of belief systems that already teach that the serpent was the good guy, not that the serpent brought death into the world. By obeying the serpent, we gave up. God was our sovereign, but by obeying the serpent, we basically gave him permission over us. We gave the serpent the sovereignty, yeah, which is where everything stems from. That I think this is why
it certainly
we do.
Does. Yeah,
we have this inclination to give in to the temptation instead of defeating it, beating it.
Totally. But I'm coming from an angle where we're completely unaware. I mean, we are aware that that's going on, but I'm coming from an angle where, as a child, I would be taught that God was this and God was that and the devil was this. Where children will be taught complete opposite without even knowing the previous ever existed, the previous version, because they control all of everything, and they will wipe out history from our lives and our children's lives. So a number of generations down the line, our children will be looking unaware, totally unaware, that they are now worshipping the serpent.
Well, I think children instinctively, they know that God exists. All children instinctively know that there's a God. They know that there's a God that created their parents, and their parents created them. It's just a natural thing. And they used to encourage that in the schools, and they would have church, you know, school prayers at assembly, and they would be taught that there was God, and that was it. And because of that, the children would grow up with a framework
structure
where they understood spirituality, they understood God, they understood religion, and they could, you know, if they wanted to go off and investigate other religions, then they could, because they had this framework, they had this understanding and this knowledge, because it had been cultivated from an early age. And I think this is why they are so keen to stop parents teaching their children about religion, remove it from all the schools, because if they remove it, then that hasn't been cultivated from a child, and they get to 20, 21, they look into it, and they're not capable of understanding it. They're like Richard Dawkins, who sees it all in front of them, but just can't see the wood for the trees.
Exactly. This is their aim. It's to cut the root of Christianity, which then they can then build their own false plants and roots.
Worshipping the Jew. They've already got the majority of Judeo-Christians worshipping the Jews, thinking the Jews are the chosen people. You've got the Pope saying that Jews have a previous dispensation from God, which means they're superior.
Yeah.
We have to ask for forgiveness of sins. The Jews don't. Previous dispensation.
All ties in. I mean, I've been touching on the Antichrist this week, and a particular guy that I'm looking at has named him. And with what he's saying, I can see where he's coming from. And at the end of the day, that's going to be a fascinating episode as well for a lot of people.
Well, I think the Antichrist can be singular or plural. I think when it's used in the Gospels, it's saying that anyone who denies Christ is the Antichrist, and the people that were denying Christ were the Jews as a whole. So it was saying that the Jews as a nation, or the Jews as a people, are the Antichrist. They were the Antichrist back then. And then you've got reference to the singular, I think, in the book of Revelation. So anyone who denies Christ is an antichrist. The Jews as a group of people are the antichrist, the same as the anti-logos. This is why they come up with all these revolutions and turn everything on its head, because they are anti-logos. They are antichrist, collective Satan.
Yeah. And infiltrate all kinds of groups, you know, they've infiltrated Christianity. I think a thousand priests by the time of Vatican II had already infiltrated in America.
Well, then they also messed around with the translations of the Bibles, didn't they? Come up with a Scofield Bible to encourage Zionism and to prepare the American Christians to accept the Zionist state of Israel and to support it and see the Jews as these chosen people.
Which they are doing now, aren't they? Yeah.
But even that goes back further. I mean, just when the first English translations of the Bible came out, the Jews were involved in getting them printed. And this is why the Catholic Church didn't want them to be printed, because they knew they'd be full of mistranslations and mistakes that would encourage people to see the Jews in a better light. And this is why they wanted to retain control over the translations of the Bible. It wasn't because they didn't want people to learn what was in there. It was because they didn't want it to become corrupted. And, of course, it has become corrupted today. And the translations back then were corrupted. I've got a copy of the First Doe Reams, and in it, it lists these corruptions that were in, I think it was a Tyndale version, or the first English version that was around at the time. And literally thousands and thousands of mistranslations and mistakes in it. And you think these Jews were funding this. And the people back then were looking up to the Jews to help with the translations. Oh, you're going to the devil to ask him to help you translate the Bible.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's why
the point that I'm making in this particular point on the Antichrist is it is a singular figure. And it's fascinating to hear it, actually. I mean, it goes all the way back to Babylon and beyond. But even back into Egypt, all this. So, you know, like I said, I've covered a lot of ground this week, and there's a lot of fat on this bone.
Well, it sounds like it. Christianity does go back. You know, people think, oh, it just began with Christ, but Christ says he's the truth, he's the Logos. That's been there right since the beginning. There've been people that have been trying to ascertain what the truth is, what's the right way to live. That's what Dharma is. You look at the natural world and work out what the natural law is, and then you stick to it. And it's a different natural law for different peoples. It's a different natural law for white people as the natural law for Jews. Jews will be rewarded when they do these wicked things. Yeah. They're rewarded for that. We won't be rewarded for that. We are chastised for that. We're rewarded when we do the right thing. Now, it's like two forces, good and evil, a duality, warring against one another.
That's the simple bottom line. And it has been since the beginning of time, and it's been going on for 1,000 years. And at this particular point, I'm sorry to say that, you know, good is losing out.
Well, that's because it's stacked against us, because it's so far from that perfect first age. I think it's just naturally going to get worse and worse, and that's just why I believe we are the elect. We're the ones that are left at the end. Our ancestors were the ones that did not miscegenate, that did not breed with these other races, and we're the ones that are left. So our ancestors were the most righteous out of all of them. Out of all those white races and nations that were around thousands of years ago, we're the only ones that are left. Our ancestors were the righteous ones who didn't interbreed.
Yeah, something to know what they were down for.
Yeah, well, they left the comfy living in the fertile temperate zones and moved to Europe, Northern Europe, to get away from it. I mean, it was a conscious movement to get away from all the degeneracy that was going on, I think, and the interbreeding.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm a lot more now at John Emery. He knew exactly what was going on, and that's why he went into Europe to fight with the Germans, and even fought there in Spain. I could totally see where he's coming from now, because this is a movement which has been hidden from us, and it's going on today in our education system, in Hollywood, in NASA, and numerous other organisations controlled by these, even the entertainment world at the top, right at the very top, are all Masonic. It's frightening to think just how much control they are in, and even more frightening to know that so little of us know the control.
Well, it's like a parallel structure, isn't it? And you talked about them being involved in the media, but they're also heavily involved in the police, the intelligence services, the government. So you've got a whole parallel system that's operating there that most people are unaware of.
Totally unaware of, yeah. And that's why you look down on the banks of the Thames, you see this building which looks like it's been plucked out of Babylon, which is the security services, MI5.
Yeah, that is a really strange building that they
have. They've got more Muslims there, don't they, to join them?
It's like bunny ears, isn't it? That building.
Sorry?
It's like it's got bunny ears or something.
Yeah, it looks like it's been plucked out of Babylon and just plonked on the Thames. But they said a couple of weeks ago that they wanted more Muslims involved, which is obvious, really, because obviously this is one day they're hoping it's going to be a Muslim country.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Instead of fighting against this, they keep talking about unity. Instead of fighting against and defending ourselves against these Muslims that are attacking us, they keep talking about wanting unity with them. keep attacking Marine Le Pen for saying that she wants to stop all immigration and protect the French people, and they're claiming that she's the enemy for that.
Yeah, I mean, I, once over, like, if you sat me down and said, like, that, you know, the other job getting rid of Christmas, I would have argued the point. But when I look at it now, like, you get enough Muslims in this country, the government turns around and says, you know, within a few years now, they can turn around and say, look, Christmas is now offending too many people, we've got to stop it. And they will. And they've got the excuse.
Well, if you look at the laws of the universe, you have entropy and decay. Everything eventually falls apart and decays. It rusts. Yeah. So if you look at time, how long time's been going on for, everything will decay and rust, which means that it will get worse and it will get more wicked. And every so often you get men that stand up and stand against that, and that's the man against time. And that's what Hitler was. That's he was a man against time. He stood against the forces of chaos, the forces of decay and degeneracy that were attacking the white race. He stood against that, and he became a focal point for all the crusaders that were warring against that to join him in his holy war.
You're right. History's always thrown one of these guys up, and hopefully they're going to throw another one up as well. Just to stand in the middle of all this and say enough is enough, and, you know, it gives it time then to rally around. You're 100% right on that aspect.
Well, I think it's like these bees or insects and what have you, and they need one particular one to fertilize all the others. And if they haven't got one, then one will arise from among the rest of them and will change so that it can fulfill this role. So when we need someone to arise from among the white race, we get someone. So Adolf Hitler arose, but at the same time, we also get these wickedly evil characters that arise, which would probably be this Antichrist.
By the court's law, unfortunately,
So you have the man against time, and you also have Antichrists that arise, like Stalin.
Well, touch on that as well. You know, the visions of Fatima in Portugal, and the consecration of Russia. I touched on that as well, whereas all that comes into it. I mean, Putin actually sent an envoy to the Vatican because the third secret should have been revealed during the 60s or 60 years ago, one of the two, which John Paul opened up the envelope and shut it again straight away. The secret hasn't been revealed as yet. And he sent an envoy over to the Vatican because it involved the consecration in Russia and the evils of communism. And Francis refused to see the envoy.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I think we've seen a big revival of Christianity in Russia after the communism. After they tried to suppress it and suppress all religious feeling, it came back with a vengeance. Because you can't suppress that. You can't cut out the connection that we have with our Creator. That will always be there.
You know, when I see photographs of the Russian troops kissing the crucifix before going into Syria, then it sends out a large message to the rest of the. But even that's suppressed. You won't see that in the media over here. You've got to go on the internet to see it.
Well, the media tries to cut everything out that is encouraging to us, that we see that's going on in Russia. They will always try to portray them in a negative light. They even tried this recent attack in France. They even tried to say, it was an armed robbery at first. Why would an armed robber be robbing a police car? Ridiculous.
Yeah, there was also the tourist what killed 52 Russians in Moscow. As early touched them over here.
Oh, they never mentioned that. They never showed the Eiffel Tower in the colour of the flag, did they?
Nothing.
Never showed any support for that at all. But then again, they'd like to cover up the victims that we've had over here as well, don't they?
They don't want any sympathy whatsoever going out over to Russia. Any at all. I mean, you've seen the press over here were involved with when Mosul's been under attack now for nearly 2 months and civilians are suffering, no different to how they suffered in other parts of Syria when Russia was bombing ISIL. Then, you know, it's so biased. The reporting is so biased over here, sickening. I refuse to watch it sometimes because it's just drivel.
Well, it's like the recent attack in Syria. 60 or 70 children that were killed by that bomb that went off. And it went off in a chip van. A van drove up throwing packets of crisps out to get all the kiddies to follow along behind it. And then as soon as they were surrounded by a crowd of children that they were handing out all these crisps to, the bomb went off. And you hear nothing about that on the Western media. They talk about this gassing that happened the other week. That's got nothing compared to killing 67 children. That's some really twisted bastards that are doing this, you know.
Well, I was going to say that's satanic, isn't it? It's the devil's work.
Absolutely evil. It is evil times that we live in, but at the same time, you know, we do see great good in people that are prepared to lay down their lives for others.
Hopefully the prophecies will come true if it is all linked to all this, because although we're going to go through some pretty terrible times, you know, the prophecy does say eventually we do come out of it and the rule of Christ and God takes over for all eternity.
Yeah, we do win. We are assured of that. We don't want to depress our listeners. You know, we're guaranteed to win. We're certain of that. Just as certain as we are of all the rest of the scriptures that have, the prophecies that have come true. That's, you know, that's your proof that your Christian faith is correct, is because all the prophecies came true. And it's quite unbelievable, incredible. Some of the ones in Daniel, with Alexander the Great and with Christ as well, and everything that he did, and people that don't study Christianity, you're probably unaware of the phenomenal amount of these prophecies that came true. And it's not a question of reading something and predicting what's going to happen in the future. It's a question of looking back in the past, reading the scripture, and thinking, that was describing that. Yeah. That foretold that. And that's how come you have this proof that these scriptures are accurate and truthful is from this. And it says that in the Bible as well, that you will know a prophet because what he says comes true. And I've always looked at Hitler as a prophet because what he said came true. What he said was going to happen. We can look back now on the last 70 years, and it's exactly what Hitler said would happen if communism won.
If, as you know, the Jews and the Freemasons are the biggest liars in history, if anybody goes up against them and loses like Hitler did, then he's going to be the most lied about person ever. And that is the situation.
And the lies have increased as well, haven't they? As time has passed,
they don't
by,
stop.
We get even more lies, even more films. They're doing a film on what we were talking about last week, aren't they? On this Dunkirk, 70 years later.
I don't know. That's news to me. It doesn't surprise me, though. And you'll get the Hollywood version, no doubt.
No, of course. You're not going to hear that. It was an act of mercy. You're going to hear about how Hitler was evil and how it was the cleverness of Winston Churchill that managed to get all these British troops home so they could then bravely win the war and destroy Germany.
You don't have to go to the movie. Oh, dear.
Sure, it won't show any of the Jewish perfidy that led up to it or any of the reasons why they were fighting. It'll just be because Hitler was the bad guy.
Yeah, not Stalin. Stalin was all right.
No. Uncle Joe was great. Well, what else are you going to be covering then? Because you're saying you've got the first four or five of them mapped out now.
Yeah, like I said, there's the last one I was working on was the Flat Earth. I've touched on the Vatican Freemasonry. I'm going to go a little bit more into the predictions of Fatima and how they involve Russia and, you know, and the vision there to the three children in Portugal where the vision was predicted and was supposed to be announced by the Catholic Church, never was. And if that doesn't happen, then there's going to be some payback on that as well, where countries will suffer. So it's like I said, you know, it's deep for me. So explaining it to people out there, you know, I do try and simplify things best I can, and hopefully I'll be able to. But there's a point, and there's another lecture I was listening to about Freemasonry where it goes into real depth of who's in control. And like I said, it's I'm not totally up to speed on it yet, but I will be shortly.
Well, it'd be good to hear about this prophecy from Fatima, this vision of Fatima. I mean, that's not something that most people are aware of. I know Catholics know all about it, but that's something that would probably be new to most of your viewers about what happened there.
For sure. I mean, I didn't know that the communist Portuguese guy, head of the government, actually arrested the children and put them in prison.
Wow, yeah, no, I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that one.
Well, when can people expect the first one of the new series to be released then?
Oh, you're putting pressure on me now, aren't you? I think if I decide which is going to be the first one, then, I mean, it won't be more than a couple of weeks, I wouldn't have thought. I'm saying that it might be even earlier, but I don't want to put too much pressure. I know there's a lot of people looking at this as my trilogy after the first two. And so I want to make sure it's right.
Have you got you got all the music worked out? I know the soundtrack has played a large part in the last two. The music is very well chosen. Have you managed to find new music for this one yet?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I was thinking at one point of using some of the music I'd used in previous documentaries, but then I was against that because instantly, you know, you get music recognizes each documentary, I think. So I'm going to try and stay clear of that if possible. Obviously, I need to find the right music, and I have found some great music since then, and I've actually edited it to how I actually want it. So what that boils down to is that I've got some royalty-free music, and then which is great, but wasn't quite right for what I wanted. Like say, you know, it may have had a lead saxophone in, and I've altered that slightly to make that saxophone now coming towards the end, fading out towards the end, and so I've kind of manipulated everything to suit the documentary. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I bet it is. I'm looking forward to it already. So hopefully we'll have the first one out in the next couple of weeks that people can look forward to finding. And where can they find your work, Dennis? Are you still on YouTube? Have you been removed from YouTube yet?
YouTube for some reason, is not too bad for me. I've been up there quite a while now, but the rest of the places don't even bother, I don't think. But you can find us on the website, obviously. Great Story Never Told, communismbythebackdoor.tv. But YouTube is probably the base for all my work now.
Well, yeah, because I get a lot of people saying, how can they contact you? And I think the best way is in the comments at your YouTube channel, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And what's that, Truth Without Films? Dennis Wise.
In fact, some people, I'll go on some videos and comment, and they'll say to me, are you really the real Dennis Wise? Yes, I'm the real Dennis Wise.
Yeah, that's you in the picture. Can't take all the names. That's you in the picture, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's like I say, if you go to my channel, you can recognise me then quite easily.
Okay, well, Dennis, thank you very much for coming on once again. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next week, same time, same place at Radio Aryan on Friday night with more Truth Without Radio for you. We hope you have a wonderful weekend.